Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're doing a special segment called Pantau Kerajaan Baru, where we will observe and monitor the new administration of Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim and see the developments that's currently happening within this governmental organization. And of course, the two or three things that needs to be looked at is, of course, cost of living, retail shopping, and of course, health. These three items are part of the main agenda of the new administration, and some of the policies that surround these items must be debated. One company that needs to be discussed in terms of how the government is going to roll out their policy is, of course, Zeiss. The Zeiss is, you would know Zeiss if you are wearing spectacles, and many of us do wear spectacles. I am one of them. It is a precision optics manufacturer looking at some of the brand innovation and digital journey that is currently being done in this space. In the studio with me is Paul Ho, the head of vision care of Southeast Asia of Zeiss Group, here talking about the company and at the same time how this impacts you, folks at home that is trying to navigate this very tumultuous and very robust economic environment. Paul, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Before we jump into all the policies and some of the ideas that needs to be talked about in terms of the governmental agenda, we really need to talk about Zeiss Group. When this interview was put together, everybody seems to know what Zeiss does, but not many people know who Zeiss is in particular. Maybe you can share with us the journey of Zeiss Group, not just in Malaysia, but how it came about back in Europe or Germany when it first rolled out.
Wow, that's really a long journey. But first of all, most thank you for
We don't have much time, right. So a concise history, perhaps.
All right, okay. Actually, the Zeiss, the name Zeiss, the company name, is founded by the owner itself called Carl Zeiss, back to 1845 in Germany, in a small place called Jena. And he is the first one who invented the world's very first microscope. Then when he started off his own workshop to produce the microscope. Ever since then, Zeiss Group is Zeiss as a company is keep on growing and also expand into the different segments. As of today, we have four major business segments, which is semiconductor, industrial quality research, medical, and of course also the consumer market, which is I belongs in. Okay, so overall, Zeiss in we cover almost the entire group. So we have more than 39 direct presence in most of the countries. And even though in Southeast Asia, our regional headquarters is in Singapore. So I am responsible directly for Malaysia. And on top of that, I also responsible for entire Southeast Asia.
Let's talk about some of the developments that is currently in this space when it comes to vision care, consumer business, not just in Malaysia, but Southeast Asia. This is a sector that not many people pay attention to normally, but it is directly affecting many of us out there. Has the development or the innovation been fast and hard in this space, not just from the adoption of new technologies, but digital adoption as well?
Okay. We can talk about this point into two different aspects. Okay. Number one is talk about the needs of eyeglasses. Okay. So based on the WHO estimation, by the year of 2050, 50% of the population will be short-sighted, or we call it myopia. So which means any one of two of us will be short-sighted. Like now we are, like you're wearing eyeglasses, I'm not wearing eyeglasses, so this is called 50%. So certainly this is this is really a big need for eyeglasses. Second thing, also talking about the service provider, which is optical retailer. Definitely optical industry, I would say, compared to other industry, in terms of digital transformation, is still quite slow or far behind. Nowadays, if you like say for your case, you have been wearing eyeglasses for the past 15, 20 years. So you go back to the optical shop. Some of them, they're using the same old technology to how to check your eyes, how to do the fitting. A very traditional one is using a marker pen to draw a cross.
Yeah.
Even though you go back to the optical shop, most of them are still using this as a marker pen to draw the cross. And now we're talking about digital transformation. I just use a very simple example. So in Zeiss, we also provide the digital centration devices whereby using the technology, how to improve the accuracy, by then to reduce the damage and also increase the customer satisfaction. Because one lens only have one optical center, and this optical center is provide you the most sharpness and the crispy vision. So we have to make sure the optical lens has to be fit precisely to the patient eyes.
Do you feel that there is a class divide in terms of those who have versus those who have not? Zeiss is a premium brand. And many within the market might not necessarily have the capacity to own one. Do you feel that there has to be some democratization need for good, high quality optical products to be made accessible to the many?
Yeah, of course. When coming to optical instrument or optical lenses, right, all this is classified as medical device. And of course, there's also a different, there's a lot of technology involved. Definitely, there's also a different price range, including a different brand. Okay, you can buy a machine from China, India, Japan, Germany, or also from the rest of the world. Of course, different companies have their own innovation and uniqueness. And Zeiss, all this while, since back to 175 years ago, we always emphasize on precision. So Zeiss, we can claim ourselves, is one of the most precise technology in the market.
Yeah. And let's talk about the government policies that have been announced, and some of them are quite important to talk about, which is cost of living, which is having greater access to medical products, trying to see or boost consumer spending. These are big ideas that needs to be talked about, and it directly impacts a company like yours. Where do you feel the importance in terms of trying to address, say, cost of living, inflation, access to health products? Do you feel that the company that you're leading right now needs to do a lot more in terms of how the policy is being shaped? How are you navigating this situation right now?
Definitely, all this new policy will affect the business, especially our business partner. Because Zeiss, we serve our optical retail, and optical retail serves to the end consumer.
You're a B2B.
Yeah, we are B2B. So with that, actually, what are our biggest challenges? Let's talk about the cost of living. Certainly, this is not just only direct impact to all the disposable income for everyone.
Yeah.
In fact, it also increase the cost of operation for all the businesses. Okay. And with that, because of the disposable income might reduce due to the inflation, and people also spend very carefully. But good thing for optical retail is that eyeglasses is still one of the essential health.
Yeah.
Where whether good time or bad time, people still need eyeglasses.
I absolutely agree.
So I think now the challenge is that how can we really educate or to the retailers, the optometrists or opticians, to bring up the awareness to the consumer. Because a lot of consumers, they might think that, oh, eyeglasses is just a piece of plastic. But in fact, not every lens is the same. We talk about the basic thing about UV protections. When a lot of people heard about, oh, UV protection, yeah, I know. But do you really know what is the exactly UV protection cutoff level we're talking about? So based on the new World Health Organization standard, the 100% UV protection is talking about 400 nanometer cutoff. So which is a very limited, not every company can able to produce that. And of course, Zeiss is the first one. And also at the moment, we are the only one can apply this.
But you got it against you, right? Because like consumers want the best, but then they don't necessarily have the time nor the interest to learn more about eyewear. There's so many things going on in their lives. They just pay, get, and then use. How do you go against this whole notion of consumers not having the interest to learn more, but you are here trying to educate the market a lot more?
Yeah, we have to work in both channel, which is direct B2B and also B2C, and then channel band to B. So what we mean by B2B means that we also spend a lot of time to educate our customers, because when talk about customer optical retailer, they have also have a different level of position of the expertise. They have optometrists, they have optician, they also have normal sales consultant and product consultant. So we have to make sure every one of them have been well educated, especially how to understand the features and the advantage of the products and what is the biggest benefit to the consumer. On the other side is also how are we going to educate the consumer through like social media, digital platform, and also work with a different organization or different from different businesses to create the awareness for that. Okay, for example, like vision care business or optical business is very relevant to medical business. So in Zeiss, we also work with our medical team to work with the hospital how to create the awareness to the public. One of the good example is talking about, you know, in every year, October, there's a month, there's a week called World Sight Day. So through the World Sight Day is also the day to create the awareness for the people, for the public, to really focus on their eye health.
The thing is, with the targeted subsidies announcement that was made by the Prime Minister, do you feel that more subsidies need to be given for eyewear products, for instance, as per consistency in terms of health products, critical medical device, and of course trying to ensure that everybody is well sighted?
Definitely, I would say yes, right? Because some of the countries overseas, right, even though the government gives subsidies for eyeglasses, and also for some of the medical treatments as well. So for eyeglasses as an example, because people, we all know that if you want to have a better quality of lenses, to have a better protection for yourself, definitely it has a price. But we are not talking about really a very premium or expensive price. It's just a price which is affordable for everyone, and then it can provide the best protections and the vision solution to all the consumers.
Do you feel that companies or private companies need to spend a lot more in terms of trying to provide health benefits for their staff in terms of getting eyewear products?
I would say a lot of companies love to do so, but again,
it's not enough, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I think it's not enough because
I'm talking about the number of coverage, and when it is covered, it needs to be more. I don't know what prices they benchmark the HR departments of these private companies.
Definitely, I don't think there's a benchmark so far as I heard. But again, when coming to this is also part of the cost of the company, right? A lot of companies that might look and do this, okay, yeah, I already provide you this as an extra benefit, but that's it.
When we talk about this kind of cost of living, we also have to talk about inflation. Production cost is the main driver for your business. How has production been in terms of cost? Has it been increasing?
Okay, honestly, if you talk about raw material, definitely there's an increase. But
I have to ask a silly question. What is raw material when it comes to your product?
Okay, raw material in optical lenses, in general, we call it plastic, in general. Okay. But of course, this plastic, you break into different scientific names. They have different indexes.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
1.5 index, the normal indexes, they call CR39.
Okay.
And you're using the 1.6, they have a MR10, MR8. So they have different materials. So like 1.67, they're MR7. 1.67.
Mine is 1.67, I think.
Your 1.67 is MR67.
Okay.
So they have a different name.
Where is it coming from? Is it locally sourced?
No, actually, for Zeiss, we talk about Zeiss context. Okay, we have a global lab strategy. Global lab strategy means that globally, we have 6 major global manufacturing sites.
So it's like a center of excellence?
Yeah, center of excellence. In Asia, we have 3 global labs, 2 sitting in Guangzhou, China, 1 sitting in India.
Okay.
And how we produce the lens is that we buy the raw material, and after that, we have our own internal processes. How to form the material is a liquid in liquid form, become a lens form.
Okay.
So all these lenses actually is made from a liquid.
Okay.
Of course, there's an internal processes how we do that.
Okay.
Okay. Back to the point, how are we going to control the cost, right? Okay. We are improving our production processes with the Industrial 4.0 concept and how to improve the productivity and reduce the waste.
Okay.
And of course, one of the uniqueness that Zeiss have is that we have a division or segment called Industrial Quality Solution, whereby we can provide a very sophisticated, precise measurement technology and also to improve the accuracy and the quality of the products. That's the only way how can we reduce the cost.
Do you feel that some government policies need to be improved in order for you to deliver better services and lower prices to your consumers?
If you ask me, because we are...
Maybe not lower prices, controlling the cost, I suppose.
Controlling the cost, I would say, cost of living, definitely everyone would like to have higher income for themselves, including myself. But back to the fact is that, how are we going to ensure that everyone can really increase or bring back more income home? The only way is that how can we improve the productivity? Improve productivity, the straightforward way is that how can we improve, for example, the workforce productivity by reducing the public holiday, example. But sometimes, honestly, too many of public holidays also reduce the productivity.
We are world champion in that. We are definitely world champion in
that. That's why one of the joke that we have always in the meeting in Southeast Asia, right? Malaysia really number one in terms of public holiday.
Oh my God, so it's a joke, it's really being... the butt of the discussion. But yeah, generally speaking, so increasing productivity is important. So therefore, digitizing is very key. Reducing waste is key. Does government policies play into this factor in terms of how you need to improve productivity?
As of now, I don't really see that yet.
Okay.
But definitely, there's a room of improvement for that.
Okay.
Besides talking about how to reduce the public holiday, I think another thing also how to invest in some of the technology. Talk about digitalization, because this is one of the areas I think Malaysia probably is still not as advanced if compared to some other countries.
Like what? Like what other countries?
Of course, the nearest is Singapore.
Okay. Yeah. So what are the digitization things that is currently happening in Singapore that Malaysia lags behind, at least in the context of your company?
We just talk about, I'm just using one example. Mm. If you want to buy a property, let's say either you want to buy a second resale, sub-sales property, sorry, it probably took you 6 to 9 months just to get the strata title or the consent came out. In Dubai, within 30 minutes.
How is that possible?
Everything digital online.
Okay.
And now in Malaysia, if you want to get your consent, you have to go to DBKL and then you have to look for the manual form and take at least 3-6 months or probably I tried before 9 months.
Okay.
This is just one of the many things.
All right. Let's also talk about supply chain, because I'm sure that you also face some supply chain constraints from the Center of Excellences or the labs that you call it in Guangzhou and India. During the pandemic, how has it been for the company?
I would say, well, during the pandemic, it's quite a challenge because there's a limited of flight. At one time, there's totally no flight at all. So then we have to...
These are airflow, nah?
Yeah, because we all fly in by air.
I didn't know. So my lenses came from China through
aeroplane. Could be from China, from Japan, from Germany, because we are a global lab. So it depends on what type of material and what type of products.
Okay. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more, particularly in terms of how kids need more spectacles moving forward. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned with us. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Paul Ho, the head of Vision Care of Southeast Asia at Zeiss Group. Paul, just before we started the interview, I was talking to you about how my boy needs spectacles, and it was actually quite—I don't know how to put it. I mean, you know, he's been online doing online classes for 2 years. He's 10 years old. He needs spectacles, and based on my last reading, I think he needs to upgrade his specs yet again. We just got him on the spectacles earlier this year. It's now December. He's complaining that he can't see anything in the class.
Yep.
So that is not a very, what do you call this, promising tale for his eyesight for the future or projection. But at the same time, this surely is not the first time you've heard this. Yep. Let's talk about some of the social developments when it comes to young Malaysians having the need for spectacles after the pandemic. Where is the trajectory going?
Honestly, there's quite a huge impact, I would say, during the pandemic, because kids are not allowed to go to school, and most of the time they have to go to online classes. And if the kids spend more time, there also studies showed before, if the kids compare the kids spend more time in outdoor versus another kid spend lesser time to outdoor, the chances of the kids who having short-sighted will be higher. So same, if using the same logic applied to the pandemic for the kids during the pandemic, right? Because over the past 18 or within that 18 to 2 years time, they have spent online a lot. So either they're playing iPad or iPhone during a break time or on class, they have to watching a lot of computers. Certainly this actually accelerate the entire myopia progression growth. Myopia means short-sighted, right? Myopia progression growth.
People and like me, I mean, I can read close up, but I can't see. This is myopia, is it?
That's why we're also getting a lot of anxiety.
Oh, having said that, I have some problem reading close up. Brother. Sorry. Go on. Yeah.
Later on, I'm going to explain that. Actually, talking about optical industry as well, because this is also one of the hot
topics. So you will always have customers. That's the thing, at whatever age.
That's why, I mean, talk about projection of optical industry. Definitely, it's still a growing industry because of two mega trends. First is short-sighted. People get wearing eyeglasses, getting more and more. Second thing is the aging population. Right? Even though like my person like me, I have perfect vision, but when I age more than 40 or 45, I still need eyeglasses.
Yeah.
So our entire life cannot run away from eyeglasses.
What about LASIK surgery? There has to be some sort of impact to your business.
Yeah, definitely. LASIK surgery is one of the refractive corrections that I can offer to consumer to correct our vision. In Zeiss, we also fortunately we have a medical division, and they also provide LASIK surgery. Sometimes we complement each other. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't really compete. But back to LASIK surgery. Of course, LASIK surgery definitely can help to give you a perfect vision after corrections. But they also have certain limitations. For example, if your power too high, More than 10 diopters. 10 diopters means 1,000 now, okay, in the layman term. They have some limitations.
Oh.
So which means even though, like, for example, using your kids as an example, he's wearing eye glasses now. Probably start with minus 200.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
And then let's say on average, a kid's their power might grow on average 1 diopter per year, 100 per year on average. Okay? Maybe 6 years down the road, 10 years down the road, the power can be increased from minus 2, become minus 8 or minus 10. So if he reached to the adult age, like 22 or 23, he decided to go for LASIK, they also might have some limitation. It cannot be 100% cure. So back to this point is that also what we are trying to do now with our business partner, the optometrist, optical industry business partner, is that how are we going to create the awareness to the parents? Because this is also one of the things in Malaysia, especially the parents not really pay attention of their eye kids. Their kids are
eyesight.
A lot of them, they might think they still have the old mindset that, oh, wearing eyeglasses is not good. The longer hour you wear your eyeglasses, the power increase more.
Oh, really? That's the
A lot of parents
myth.
There's a myth, but it's a wrong myth. That's why we also want to correct the mindset of the parents by educate them the right, informations through optometrists, opticians, retailers.
But how do you stop this from happening? You can't, right? I'm not talking about the myth now. I'm talking about children having bad eyesight.
Yeah.
As digitization and digitalization continues on, you're going to have kids in front of screens more now than ever before.
Definitely, we cannot stop because this is, again, in other pandemic, this is a new norm for everyone, including the kids. So what we can do is talking about prevention and protection, and then correction. Right? Prevention and protection means that definitely the parents also play their role in-house, at least to apply this 20-20 rules.
Right? Mm.
So which means every 20 minutes, you look at the screen, or you take 20 minutes break and look at 20-meter object, 20-meter far away. This is 20-20 rules. I think a lot of optometrists also encourage this to all the parents, but by doing this for the kids. And then second thing is that bring the kids to have regular eye check. You see, as an adult, we always go for our body checkup, right? At least once a year. But eyesight also the same. But a lot of parents always say, no time, busy. But if you really pay attention or concern about your kid's eyesight, as a parent, I think we should do that.
Obviously, because I have an 8-year-old, she's not on spectacles yet, but I'm so concerned about her. You have no idea, man, because the abang is already on specs.
Yeah. So then second point, talk about prevention. Okay, and then because we honestly, myopia or short-sighted, there's no U-turn, okay? Consider no way you can cure myopia, but we can have a solution to help to the eyes to slow down the progression of myopia.
Mm.
Just like I mentioned, on average, the kids, the power might increase 1 diopter per year.
Mm.
6 years down the road might be increased 6 diopter, from 100 become 600. And with the myopia management solution, it's a special design, the lens design for kids, to slow down their myopia progression, instead of every year increase by 1 diopter, it might slow down by 30%, 50% throughout the next 3-5 years. So this is talking about how to do the prevention for the kids.
The final question is this whole idea of education system. We see that the government's policy in terms of trying to get more students on screens. How do you balance this whole idea of increased myopia amongst young Malaysians versus the need for us to digitize education policies?
I think honestly, if you ask my personal opinion, I think government has to be balanced between both. Look at some our neighborhood countries in Asia, especially the higher population with myopic is for the kids in Singapore and Taiwan. Like Singapore, for instance. Most of the kids are really study a lot, and then they also spend a lot of time in front of the screen. So we foresee it will be the same happen if we always go for digitization and we reduce the outdoor activities for the kids. We also can increase our myopic population in the very near future. So what I'm trying to say here is that if the government can balance actually for the school activities between in front of the screen and also some outdoor, there's a balance.
Okay. I think that's critical, right?
Yes,
not just about eyesight. It's just about like interpersonal relationships, collective collaboration between their peers, many positives there.
And one of the biggest problem I foresee if it happen is that the kids, in terms of communication, they don't know how to communicate with people.
Okay.
Because they only communicate with screen, they only communicate with people, TikTok, Instagram, everything is using the thumb. So the motor skill might not as good compared to those times, the old days kids. The way how they communicate with people also could become problems.
It's amazing. Okay, final word before we conclude this conversation. How do you see ZEISS Group moving ahead when it comes to 2023?
Okay, definitely, even though last year is a pandemic year, but ZEISS Group as a whole, our business is still growing. And it's on average, all our four business segments are growing. Okay, one of the, I would say, the key strategy initiative from ZEISS is that we are keep on investing in the new R&D. Because ZEISS also, unlike other company, actually we are a foundation. ZEISS is owned as, by a foundation, it's a Carl ZEISS Foundation. So as a foundation, one of the key philosophy, what we believe is that it's only through new innovation, we can make people have a better future. So ZEISS, we are not just a company buy and sell. In fact, we are a foundation. We believe that through the new innovation, we really can make people have a better future. Not just only through the consumer, as well as to our business partner, because our brand identity also is talking about our success is determined by how well we can enable our business partner to be success in all the businesses.
Fantastic. That's a great way to end. I've been speaking with Paul Ho, the head of Vision Care of Southeast Asia at ZEISS Group. If you want to learn more about some of the conversations that is currently happening, not just on my show Notepad, but of course the kind of conversations that we're going to have on Pantau Kerajaan Baru, the monitoring of the new government, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for all our resources there. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.